Mr. Ginsburg? Mr. Glading?
Here.
Mr. Hilbert?
Here.
Mr. Lepofsky?
Here.
Ms. Nuzzo?
Here.
Mr. Plager?
Here.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome. I'd like to remind everyone, as always, that we have a civility policy and pledge of conduct, which is we may disagree, but we will be respectful of one another. We will direct all comments to the issue. We will avoid personal attacks. Audience members wishing to speak must be recognized by me. Speaking without being recognized will be considered out of order. At each meeting, we set aside a time for the public to address issues that are not on the agenda. Anyone wishing to speak on an item that's not on the agenda should complete a request to be heard form. Donna, have we received any requests to be heard forms for public portion?
No, sir.
Thank you. Our first item of business is approval of minutes of the February 23rd regular meeting. Is there any board discussion, or may I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Moved by Ms. Nuzzo and seconded by Mr. Glading. The February meeting minutes are approved as presented.
Good job, Donna.
Yeah. And Mr. Secretary. The next item on the agenda is the setting of our next meetings. As of the last meeting, we agreed to April 13th, 2026 for a special workshop on the tree ordinance. And April 21st is our regularly scheduled meeting, so we'll have two meetings in April. Is there a consensus on those dates? Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've cleared those. All right. The next item is the consent agenda. There are no items on the consent agenda. So we can head into agenda item 7A. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to say before we head into these two ordinances. First is I want to offer our attorney the opportunity to speak about what we're doing here today. So
go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, everyone, and happy St. Patrick's Day. I wanted to talk just for a minute briefly about why we're here today and make a distinction with, because this is not something that we normally hear, text amendments, particularly property owner text amendments. They're somewhat unusual, but I want to make sure that we frame this in the appropriate manner in which you're being asked to act. Number one, this is legislative policy making. This is not a quasi-judicial hearing. So unlike your quasi-judicial hearings where I ask everybody to disclose conflicts of interest or ex parte communication, none of that applies here. This is crafting ordinances and policy language to be ingrained in the town code, which means that there is not that requirement to ask for those kind of inquiries into who you've spoken to and what have they told you and can you be fair and impartial. You can be lobbied in this type of scenario for or against it, and you can have opinions, because what you're trying to craft is what type of laws will apply townwide. So you're going to be asked to hear certain text amendment changes in two ordinances. Just want to frame it in the context of these are laws that you're asking, that are being asked to be incorporated into town code to apply townwide. And I want to make sure that that distinction is clear. Also, as a planning and zoning board, it's also important to keep in mind that your decision here today does not adopt these text amendments as laws. You are making a recommendation to the town commission, who ultimately has the final decision making on whether or not these ordinances eventually become law. So again, keep in mind that you're being asked to make a recommendation. As always, I'm here to help you all navigate any questions you may have. Because these are interrelated ordinances. We may go in and out of public hearings just for purposes of trying to kind of keep the presentations, which may be somewhat duplicative, to try to move this along in an efficient way, in the most efficient way. So I know Alan has a presentation in which he's going to talk to you all about both of the ordinances, and just want to make sure that everybody understands that we may ask you to hold off on initial action while we move forward on the second ordinance, which is interrelated. Okay? With that said, also, Mr. Chairman received a request from the property owner who has initiated this for additional time, and that will need to be addressed at the forefront as well. The timeframes on legislative non-quasi-judicial hearings is a little more, it's not as strict, let me put it that way, as it is for quasi-judicial hearings. Typically, public comment is afforded 3 minutes in legislative decision-making. I believe the applicant's attorney has requested additional time since they have submitted this request, have filed an application, and spent some time pursuing this. So, Mr. Chairman, you will want to take that request up first as well.
Thank you, Maggie. Let's do that right now. You've all seen the request of the applicant for 15 minutes of presentation. Is there any objection to granting that 15 minutes? All right. Okay. So it's granted. So as Maggie said, we have two agenda items today, and they're both linked together like this, obviously, and in fact, there's a provision in 7A that says that it's contingent upon 7B, and 7B is contingent upon 7A. So given that, as Maggie said, I'd like to, if we have agreement, I'd like to hear 7A first. Have the public hearing on 7A first. Have the board have an opportunity to ask questions of the applicant and the staff as we normally do. Close that hearing and immediately, before further board discussion, immediately open the hearing on 7B so that we can hear that and have that out of the way, and then do our deliberations on both. Together. Makes sense? Everybody in agreement?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's our housekeeping. So, Alan, you're up first to provide the staff's presentation on 7A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, board members. For the record, Alan Parsons, Planning, Zoning, and Building Department. And I'll start with a little bit of background. We do not see privately initiated zoning text amendments here very often. This is one that has been initiated by a property owner here within the town. That is allowed by zoning code section that's on the screen there, 158.021A3, that allows fee simple owners of any property in the town to initiate zoning text amendments. It is a request to two sections of the zoning code that have provisions relative to where structures can be on the gulf fronting properties with regard to something called the erosion control line, which I'll get into, but essentially two sections of code for where structures can be relative to that erosion control line. And then on the what's called the structure over water, the types of features that are currently allowed to be on the surface of those as accessory type structures. As has been mentioned, this does have a companion amendment to the sign code that was authorized by the Town Commission for staff to develop language which could be approved. The Town Commission did not having that direction to staff to have a companion amendment indicate whether they are approving language, disapproving language, but the direction was to develop language that could potentially allow for a structure on a privately owned groin. This current groin feature here, there's a picture of it on the right, has been installed at the groin by the St. Regis property. Archway structure was installed in August of last year. It's currently not allowed by town code, so hence the privately initiated zoning text amendment and companion sign code amendment. On the sign code side, which we'll get to after this public hearing, this type of sign would be something that's called outdoor advertising sign, which basically means off premises. So the St. Regis property, there is fee simple ownership of that. There is intervening beach on kind of seaward of that property that's owned by the St. Regis property. Then there is a privately owned groin. So the groin feature itself is privately owned, but the land underneath it is not owned in a fee simple way. So this type of sign by our sign code is considered an off-premises sign, also called an outdoor advertising sign. On the adjacent property that's tourism zoned, the only type of sign that's a standalone sign that's allowed is one that's called a ground-mounted sign, so kind of those monument-type signs. So as a sign type, it's currently prohibited. So with the sign code amendment, the reason that's publicly initiated is, unlike the zoning code, which has a specific section that allows for fee simple property owners to initiate amendments, the sign code doesn't have that same provision. So it's typically initiated by the town commission, and they did so back in December. The two non-conformities for the current sign, so just to kind of orient here, this is an aerial when St. Regis was under construction. The groin feature where the sign would be located is this feature here where the mouse is moving. There is a Gulf waterfront yard setback in the town that generally requires that any structures are set back 150 feet from this green line. Here is something called the erosion control line. The erosion control line, when it was established, and there are a couple different times over which the erosion control line has been established. I think generally in the early 90s, I think it was 1993, it's a surveyed line that distinguishes between seaward of that line, so to the left of this green line, is considered publicly owned, and then landward of that is considered privately owned. And it has a relationship to our beach nourishment program, but it is in town code a line that in many cases back in 93, I think when most of this was established, was generally where the mean high water line was at the time. The Gulf waterfront setback of distance of 150 feet is to try to have, you know, a distance from that generally mean high water line so that there's, you know, less likelihood for damage of structures. I put in here this, what's outlined in red here is about 150 feet setback. So structures generally have to be set back that far landward. This groin structure being seaward of the erosion control line, this zoning code section says that you can't have any structures that would be seaward of that. The next section that would be non-conforming currently and is proposed to be amended is the section that deals with structures over water. Typically in the town, that's dock structures. So this private groin that we're going to be talking about here today is the one privately owned groin in the town. There are several public groin features, but they're not really features that are walkable, other than, you know, if you want to climb on some rocks. So the standards in this section speak to things that are typically found on docks, because that is the typical kind of structure over water. But this private groin feature is also a structure over water. So currently the code limits what can be on top of those structures over water to things like benches and equipment lockers and so forth. So an archway type structure is not on that list of allowed accessory structures. So that would that's also proposed to be added. The application that you have before you from the applicant had a number of points to be made, and then features within the language that was proposed. The language that's proposed would allow for an archway structure with a identifying kind of sign. It would be limited to private groins that are seaward of the erosion control line. It would be adjacent to either a hotel or motel, and also in the T6 zoning district, and then would apply townwide. We've made some modifications on the staff side to that. So if you look at the language that's proposed by the applicant and then the language proposed by the staff, generally the same in terms of the requirements, but in terms of the staff modifications, for the sign code amendments, there is a Supreme Court case that is very much relevant to the sign portion of this structure that would have to have a public purpose for treating a type of use or property differently than others. So the staff modifications are to essentially, to be supported anyways, are to indicate that the sign, the purpose of that would be to identify a party that's responsible for the privately owned groin feature, and then to have a public safety type of purpose in identifying who's responsible for, you know, any kind of need for emergency response or you know, concern about maintenance and so forth. This is not a town-owned feature, so to identify this as to who is responsible for the structure, we believe has a supportable public purpose to it. It would, in the staff language here, I'll also allow for the archway structure and identifying sign, the purpose of which, though, is not necessarily to enhance tourism from the language that's proposed by staff. It was the same in terms of being allowed on private groins in the Gulf. We removed the requirement to be adjacent to a hotel or motel or adjacent to a T6 zoning district, because that is treating one, you know, kind of tourism type of use differently than other types of commercial uses or even residential uses. And also this would apply townwide. The apply townwide part means that this is going to be applicable to any Gulf fronting properties that would have a privately owned groin with a public pedestrian walkway. Currently in the town, there is just the one, but at some point in the future, if there was to be another one, then it too could be eligible to have an identifying archway type of sign on it. Then to get into the specifics of the language here, so the first part of the amendment is to section 158.094C1, and that's this 150-foot setback requirement. And this is adding a new subsection D and essentially allowing for privately owned groin structures that have a pedestrian walkway that extend out into the Gulf. An allowance for them to have a single archway structure with an embedded sign, and to comply with the requirements that are the second part of this amendment, and then they're similarly mirrored in the Chapter 156, which is the sign code. The next part of the amendment here is to Section 158.099A, which would add a allowance here for these kinds of structures, so privately owned groins with pedestrian walkways to be allowed on the Gulf of Mexico. So right now that's currently prohibited, and the language here is structures over water on properties abutting the Gulf of Mexico are prohibited. This is adding an exception that, you know, except is provided herein. So further down in the same section are the requirements that are part of this exception. The last part here would add a new subsection F to this section of the structures over water. And it has some standards with it. So section F has language that says, notwithstanding any provision to the contrary, if there is a privately owned groin that has a pedestrian walkway, it's allowed to have an archway structure on it with an embedded sign to identify the responsible entity. And then we'll get into what the standards would be that would be allowed with that. So number one is that the archway structure has a maximum height of 14 feet. Number two essentially is that this cannot create a enclosed kind of space or roof space. And then sort of the maximum size of what the structure would be made out of, would maximum size would be 8 by 8 inches thick. Number three is that it has to be able to withstand the wind speeds that are required for this portion of the state as a barrier island of 150 miles per hour. Number four is that the archway and sign cannot be illuminated. Number five is that it has to have all the applicable state or federal permits. And then number six is just that it is something that is obligated to be maintained in good repair by the owner of that. Zoning text amendments, whether they're privately or publicly initiated, they do have criteria in the zoning code to guide kind of the recommendation that will come out of the board here. It has to be based on competent and substantial evidence, and there are four criteria. The first is the need for the change, and so the applicant is making the case that this is a benefit here to adjacent tourism type of properties. Staff were supportive of it from the perspective of having this as a assistance for identifying who's responsible for a privately owned structure that's out in the Gulf that's open to the public, and then the public safety response from being able to identify that. You know, that somebody makes a phone call, it is a groin, and there's a feature on it to identifying it. Number two is the applicability of the change townwide. This is a change that would apply to all Gulf fronting properties within the town. As I mentioned, though, it's currently limited to a single property, but should there be any of these in the future, this is not limited to just this current property that we're talking about. The third one is an assessment of, is this consistent with the adopted goals, objectives, policies in the town's comprehensive plan? And of the opinion that it can be found consistent, primarily based on sort of the safety related benefits of identifying who's responsible for the groin feature. And so there are a couple of, there's an overall goal within the future land use chapter that maintaining an environment that's conducive to the health, safety, and welfare, property values of the community. Future land use policy 1.1.11 about encouraging design principles that are accommodate safety. And then a couple within the conservation coastal management element, the overall goal to provide infrastructure that ensures the public health, safety, and welfare. And then policy 3.1.1 in that same element about applying and enforcing standards for the safety of structures. And then the last criteria would be whether this furthers the purposes of the town code in terms of the zoning code or other regulations that implement the comp plan. And again, I think we can from the staff side say that we're supportive of a allowance for limited signage that is just to address kind of responsible party for the ability to be able to respond to public safety. And then, as was mentioned at the outset here, these ordinances, the next one that you're going to hear, are tied together in such a way that the adoption of one is reliant upon the adoption of the other. And so the chair already described what I have on this screen here about holding the public hearing on this one before you actually get to whether you're going to recommend approval or denial to close this public hearing, open up the next one, hear all of that, and then come back to this one. Staff is recommending approval of this ordinance for the reasons that were stated. And if the board were to make its recommendation today, this would go to the town commission's May 4th regular meeting for first reading and public hearing. And then with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Before we get to questions, I want to make sure that the title block is on the record. An ordinance of the, this is section one, an amendment to 158.094 yard regulations and section 158.099 structures over water. An ordinance of the town of Longboat Key, Florida, amending Title 15 Land Development Code, Chapter 158 Zoning Code, amending section 158.094 yard regulations, adding subsection 158.094C1D waterfront yard requirements, amending section 158.099 structures over water, adding subsection 158.099(2)(f), providing for severability, providing for repeal of all ordinances in conflict herewith, providing for codification, providing for an effective date. Questions of Alan from the board. Start, Nick, Marge, Paul, no?
I have a question. Not sure exactly when to ask the question, Alan, but would it be possible to build a private groin by really any landowner, let's say Zoda wanted to put up a private groin, would they have the ability to do so? Would Florida Department of Environmental Protection allow that to happen? You know, what's kind of that process and the probability of it being successful?
Yes, I wouldn't want to say it's impossible, but my understanding is it's incredibly challenging to develop new privately owned groins. So the feature that you know, we're generally talking about here today was established back in the 1960s. There are agencies, though, that would be involved in, you know, seeking to do such a thing of constructing a privately owned groin. That's the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and then the Army Corps of Engineers. So there's, you know, a fair amount of sort of environmental study and impact that would be associated with that. I believe, too, that would involve what's called a sovereign submerged land lease with the state of Florida. I know less about that, what's involved in getting a sovereign submerged land lease, because all of that is owned by the state, meaning all of that, meaning anything seaward of that erosion control line. So those environmental related issues, a permitting related issue, and then a kind of allowance from the state to place a feature on it, all very, very challenging. However, not impossible from my understanding.
Okay, I have a question. Oh.
I'd like to follow up on Paul's question. Can I follow up on Paul's question before we go on to something else? Paul asked the question that I had on my mind, but I want to ask it a little differently. Put aside any federal or state requirements. Just forget those for the time being. I own a property fronting on the Gulf, a house or a condo, whatever it is, and I want to build a private groin. I come to the Building and Zoning Department and ask the question, is it okay under the town's zoning ordinances for me to get a permit to build a groin? Limited to that issue. Do we allow new private groins to be built on the Gulf? Yes, no, or maybe?
The answer is no currently. And that's this, just so it's up on the screen here, the structures over water section 158.099A. The highlighted language that's on the screen is adding, that's part of the amendment today, that would to say, except as provided herein. So the language currently reads, structures over water on properties abutting the Gulf of Mexico are prohibited. So currently the answer would be no.
So in fact, the representation that this is now a uniform standard for the town is limited only to existing private groins. Is that right?
Well, in the sense that if this language were to be adopted as it's written here, it would create an exception so that there could be an allowance for structures over water. And then those structures over water would be privately owned groins and with a pedestrian walkway. Now, there are publicly owned groins, though, that...
are there any other privately owned groins?
Are there any other?
At the present time?
No, this is the only...
And no new ones could be built under the existing zoning code?
Correct.
But you could seek a zoning text amendment to build your private groin.
Yep. Or I believe the language that's in front of the board here today would also allow for privately owned groins in the future. There is herein an exception that's...
okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Go ahead. Marge, I think
you've got several questions. You go ahead, Marge.
My question is riparian rights. Are there riparian rights on that pier?
That's a question I'm unfortunately not well versed in riparian rights. So
riparian rights are the rights to boat and fish and rights to a view, and that there, that structure, the structure itself, whether or not it has riparian rights, it is owned by a private entity. The structure, not the land beneath it. So I don't know that it's made for boating, and certainly I think you could fish off of it. It will have a view and it will have a right to that. Bathing is another riparian right. I don't know that you're going to be seeing people bathe from that walkway just because they may get hurt. but if you're asking if there are riparian rights or a property right that is conferred in conjunction with other waterfront property, so presumably it has some, whether it has the whole realm, I don't know that it's made for the full realm, meaning it's intended for the full realm of like being a place where boats can tie up an anchor and such. I think that would be a good question for maybe the property owner's attorney, who may have more information on that.
Okay, thank you.
Nick?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just, by the way, I'm talking about 2607, and a couple of questions. I mean, believe the staff has made various changes, including raising the withstand winds from 100. I need Alan to, I have to, this is for Alan.
Do you mind if I make a quick announcement? I apologize. Somebody here hopefully is not the owner of a vehicle that's in a handicap spot. It's got an alarm going off. BMW. Okay, good. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm talking about 2026-07.
Yes.
And some of the things the staff is now recommending, you changed it from one, the applicants, I'm sure they're going to address this, but I want to know what your opinion is. You changed it from 100 to 150 miles per hour.
Yes.
Okay, now what's the basis for that? What are your thinking?
Yes, we're in a wind area in the state, and also being a barrier island, that structures have to withstand 150 mile per hour wind. So that's just a building permitting requirement out of the Florida Building Code.
Okay. And in the event that that were to happen, because I believe the applicant has suggested that they already got through Milton and Helene anyway, perhaps Milton. Let's say it exceeds 150. Whose responsibility is to fix it?
Responsibility to fix it would be the responsible entity there. So some combination of the ownership, the ownership and however that's worked out privately amongst the ownership and their.
So that would fall under subsection 6, which says shall be maintained in good repair at the owner's sole expense.
That's right.
Correct?
Not the okay. town. That's a,
and that would include that.
Correct.
Sole expense to fix it.
Correct.
Now, the real question I want to get to is you've got various language throughout here that part of the justification to change this to make this a public, I don't know how you used it, but for public interest as opposed to private interest. You say it could. So going to, trying to find it. I'm looking at page 5, but it's under your proposed 4. It says staff believe this could serve as a legitimate public purpose and further the purpose of the zoning board and so on. Could serve. Could you please say why you're saying it could? What do you mean by that?
If adopted, if it were adopted, it could serve that purpose. It's probably unnecessarily weaselly language. Staff is supportive of this from that perspective of, you know, public safety benefit. So, we do as staff provide recommendations on things. And if the word could sounds like, we're waffling on that, the staff is supportive of having a type of identifying sign because of what was discussed earlier of the benefits of being able to identify who's responsible. This is a private groin. It is open to the public. So absent there being some kind of identifying sign, the public may have an assumption that that is a town feature. It is not. And then also just from the ability of identifying that feature for someone to be able to call if emergency response is needed, hey, this or that happened on this groin, it's got this sign on it, that helps.
Alan, this is where I got a little lost on this, because I'm just trying to understand it. Does that mean that safety people would come off the water, they would see the sign, or are you saying they would see it from land side, they'd see it would say St. Regis? I mean, what exactly, where is the public people coming from? Are they coming from both ways, landway, waterway? Where are they coming from?
I would say primarily landward. I don't know how many people are out there swimming, but there are boaters in the Gulf too. So really from either direction, but more from the ability of somebody who may be making a phone call to identify, something, needs a response and it's on this groin and there's an identifying sign to it. And it just can aid in being able to get emergency responders to that feature quickly.
So
quicker.
So in other words, somebody would, let's call 911 and they'd be able to see it was at the St. Regis place. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So they wouldn't, otherwise without this sign, they wouldn't know it was St. Regis? Just,
well, the buildings are
too maybe. Small. Many people, I'm sure, would know that that is associated with St. Regis, but, you know, I think it could aid in that as a, you know, having a public kind of purpose to whose sign that is. If you're unfamiliar with, you know, you're just walking up or down the beach and you're unfamiliar with it, that is owned by the St. Regis.
Okay. All right. Then let me ask you this. Looking under the whereas, under 2607, I don't know, it's not named which one, but it says, I'm going to get to it. It says, whereas in the limited locations, blah, 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 there is a public benefit to allowing signage identifying the party or parties reasonable for the maintenance and liability of the private groin structure. And the town desires to amend blah, 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 blah. And you use the words and liability. However, I don't see in the actual text, it talks about maintenance, talks about over on part six, the archway and embedded sign shall be maintained in good repair at the owner's sole expense. But it does not say their sole liability. Now, why didn't you put that in there?
In the beginning portion here of F, and I believe it's repeated again, it's the language that was used, that it's to allow a single archway structure with an embedded sign identifying the responsible entity. And so the responsible entity kind of it goes along with that, that includes liability as the responsible entity. So it could be language that, you know, would add to that. But I think the thinking was that responsible entity includes that set of obligations, including liability.
Well, I know there are in this room four lawyers. We may all have different views on this, but I'm just suggesting that it's not definitive enough, in my opinion. Those are my questions right now for them. I will have some questions for the applicant. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions of Alan? Jay, you've got your question.
One other question. What's the difference between an embedded sign and some other kind of sign?
The difference there and what's attempted to be captured is that the sign is a part of the structure. There's not something appended to it.
If the sign is painted on, is that embedded?
Yes, I would say that that's embedded. That's a part of the sign. It's not something appended to it.
Okay.
If I may, why is it that today no structure is allowed seaward of 150 feet of the of the ECL?
There isn't some intense section that I could turn to, but I can tell you how I explain that 150-foot setback requirement to people when asked, that the purpose of it is to reduce potential for damage to structures. So the further away structures are from where the water typically is, and during hurricanes that water can go way inland and even over the island, but the purpose of having a setback requirement is just to reduce the likelihood of there being damage to structures. So the further away, the less likely that is. This here would allow for, you know, additional structure types seaward of that.
And my other question is about the 14 feet high and an archway in shape is being put in the code. Is there any reason for restricting structures to 14 feet and an archway in shape, other than the fact that the current applicant has an archway that's, I think it's a bit less than 14 feet? Is that what, if in the future someone built a private groin and wanted to put up a sign that instead of being arched in shape was square in shape, that would be prohibited under this code. Is there any structural engineering building reason for that?
Yeah, no, a very good question. No. And this was a privately initiated amendment, so you know, staff doesn't have any objection to you know, that type of scale and design of sign. So yeah, we did not you know, look at it from the perspective of what other style, shape, etc. But that's a very good question.
But if the sign were, the current sign were 10 feet high, then we would be restricting future, if it was 10 feet high and square, we would be restricting future applicants to a 10 foot high square sign.
That could be, yes.
Okay. If there are any other, without any further questions from the board, I will ask the applicant to come up. Brenda, are you going to be doing the presentation?
I'll do part, and then Mr. Whittle would like to make some comments.
Okay. And as we said earlier, you have 15 minutes, as you requested, 15 minutes.
And I do think, excuse me, first of all, I'm Brenda Patton. For the record, I'm an attorney with the Berlin Patton Ebling Law Firm, and I'm here representing Unicorn National Developments, Inc. and SRLBK LLC, the owner of the property. I do think some interesting points have been raised, which could lead to some changes to the text of the ordinance that you're considering, which we would agree with. We can discuss that later. But to begin my presentation, I'd like to say that as the applicant of this amendment, we accept the staff's report with some minor points that we may not agree with, your little bits here and there. But for purposes of this hearing, we accept the report. The proposed zoning code amendments open to changes based on some comments I've heard, and we certainly accept the staff's recommendation of approval. The required public purpose, that's the foundation of what you're doing today. The materials staff has provided says that based on case law, that the staff and town attorney concluded that the proposed amendments in both ordinance 2026-07 and 2026-08 could serve a legitimate public purpose of identifying a groin ownership and location to, quote, aid in public safety responses, close quote, of fire, police, and first responders. Now, it was interesting to hear Mr. Parsons say the word could was a bit weaselly. I don't see why you couldn't change that to say that the amendments do serve, if adopted, a public purpose. Could is a bit weaselly. I wondered about that myself. The memo from Maggie Mooney in the record also explains that the signage will eliminate confusion as to whether a groin is publicly or privately owned, and identify who's responsible for maintenance and safety, be it the town or some other private party. And I think this could be an important fact for the public going by to know and understand who's responsible for this groin. We can get to some language changes at the end of my presentation regarding liability. I think responsibility is a better word than liability, because what if someone in a boat going by the groin crashed over the groin and hit the arch and the sign? Liability assumes whose responsibility is to pay for it. I don't think putting the word liability in the ordinance is a good idea, but perhaps saying responsibility is a good idea. All of the above are legitimate public purposes under the law that would support this ordinance, but there are also many practical secondary ways the ordinance will also benefit the community, and Maggie's memo even recognizes the possibility of secondary purposes. The arch and sign would identify the upland owner as a condominium, a resort, a restaurant, or whatever, and people walking by on the beach may see the sign and say, oh, well, that's interesting, and turn around and see the development upland and say, hey, let's go check that out. So it does serve an identification purpose in that regard as well. That helps draw in customers and buyers of units of condominiums. And the structure, I'm not going to call it an arch anymore because it could be any structure. The structure with the sign would provide a recreational amenity. It's a fun place to walk, to stop for photos and so forth. And it would also attract people to walk up on the groin and get closer to the Gulf and enjoy nature. Example of how this ordinance could be applied, of course, is the St. Regis, which is already there. In 2025, Unicor improved the old Colony groin, which I believe was constructed in the 1960s. It was improved by adding a wooden walkway, post and rope railings, and an arch and a sign saying the St. Regis Longboat Quay. The 2022 application, which the applicant submitted to the town, did not include the arch and the sign because at that point no one had really thought of it. And I had nothing to do with that application. I didn't file it. I didn't review it. But it was filed, and no one had thought of an arch and a sign at that point. In 2024, an application was filed with DEP for improvement of all the structures on the groin, including the arch and the sign. Graphics were included, and that permit was issued by DEP. After construction, then when the town did an inspection, that's when we found out that the town code, in their opinion, did not allow the arch and the sign, of course, which is why we're here today. If this ordinance is approved, of course, the arch and sign on the groin for the St. Regis will remain. If the ordinances are not approved by the town commission when it ultimately gets to them, then those structures, the sign, the arch, will have to be taken away, removed. The St. Regis is a five-diamond resort in a very competitive resort market. It provides a variety of amenities, and amenities are one of the major reasons guests choose to go to a resort. Amenities are a key to success. They're very important to successful resorts. The arch and sign create an iconic landmark for shared memories and celebrating commemorative events and ceremonies like engagements, weddings, and so forth. And someone from the St. Regis is going to be talking, I believe, about that later today. And in fact, the guy in the pink shirt in the audience was actually engaged on the arch. So, you know, it does have its purposes. This arch and the on the groin and the sign are very important to the guest of the St. Regis. This is the slide I was just going over. I forgot to push the button. But, and again, I wanted to mention that even in hurricanes Milton and Helene, there was no damage to the arch. I wanted to quickly go over this slide here. There are these practical secondary benefits that I'm talking about and Ms. Mooney's memo mentioned are supported by your town's comp plan and the vision plan. Your comp plan has language in one policy which encourages tourism. It says, historically, tourism has been an important element of the town economy. And your comp plan encourages the provision of recreational opportunities. Your town's community vision plan has a goal and strategy of to encourage the modernization of development of tourism facilities to promote tourism and economic growth. It says, understanding Longboat Quay as a recreational or destination community means the community is judged by the presence of desired amenities. It encourages the development of optional, of additional options for recreational opportunities, and I think the groin, the sign, walking up the beach and so forth, it is an additional option. The vision plan also says the town will maintain Longboat Key as a premier vacation destination and enhance year-round tourism through continued revitalization, development, and maintenance of tourism-oriented businesses and amenities. As you know, both ordinance 2607 and 2608 would apply to any private groin with a pedestrian walkway constructed on the Gulf in the future. It's very difficult, nearly impossible to get a groin these days, at least a private groin. And this one, as I said, was done by the colony in the 60s and probably couldn't be approved today. But as written, these ordinances are perfectly legal. Perfectly legal is written with a legitimate public purpose. That's the legal basis of the ordinance. The arch and sign have caused no problems, not even in hurricanes. They're enjoyed by residents of Longboat Key, people who walk the beach, the St. Regis guests, lots of people are enjoying it. And if they're approved, the arch and the groin can remove. And I think it makes good sense for the town to take whatever reasonable steps you can to accommodate the success of development like the St. Regis. So I think it's good for the St. Regis, it's good for resort guests, and it's good for the community. Now, if you want to give me time, perhaps after Chuck speaks, I did hear Mr. Gladding's comments about the ordinances, and I have some suggestions that we would agree to that I think would clarify that. I didn't want to interfere with the ordinance before the hearing, but certainly we could do that. So, Chuck?
Good afternoon, board members. Chuck Whittle, Unicorp National Developments, owner of St. Regis at 1601 Gulf of Mexico Drive. Thank you for taking time to listen today. And like Brenda said, I just want to make clear for the record that originally George, our project manager who permitted this, was under the understanding that it was through the state. And I still believe, and Brenda believes, that we went the proper channel to do that. But to avoid a conflict, we wanted to go through this instead of a legal system and see if we could get you guys on board with this. You know, I got to say, we put this up in a very first-class manner. The arch was very expensive. You know, the reason we wanted to put it up is because so many of our guests there wanted to take pictures and make memories of their stay at the resort. We are booked up through next year with weddings, all through next year. Every wedding occasion is booked. And I can tell you, and you know, she'll get up and speak in a few minutes, that we probably have, on a daily basis, 20 or 30 people taking pictures underneath that arch a day and saving those memories. I think the St. Regis has been a good community partner here. I saw an article after the hurricane about the tax basis being lowered and that if it weren't for the St. Regis, that the town would be short of taxes. I mean, we're a huge contributor of taxes at this point, the tourism. We've become named the number one family resort in the United States, which I think is great for the town. It's great for future businesses. It's great for everybody. We do have competition, too, in the market. The Four Seasons just opened up south of us in Naples. And I really think we have a much nicer resort. We have a much nicer town. We have a much more family-friendly environment. I was pleased to be out here yesterday and seeing all the families and kids and everybody enjoying the resort. And like I said, everybody is taking pictures out there because it's a memory of their stay. And it's the only identification the St. Regis has on the entire back of the property that says St. Regis is the name on that arch where people are taking pictures. As far as the life safety thing, you know, I never would have thought, but it is true. You know, when we came in and made our original application to build this resort, I was told by Fire Marshal Jane that we have to put a fire lane going around the property. And I argued, no other properties in Longboat Key have a fire lane running around the entire perimeter of the property. And so I put my thinking cap on and I said, how can I make this a special fire lane to make a fire lane special? And I asked her, I said, do you have any problem if I cover it with AstroTurf? And she said, as long as the fire truck can drive on it. So we put a great sub base in and covered it with AstroTurf. And I knew what was going to happen is that that big giant fire lane was going to become a big lawn. And now on a daily basis, you see people out there, you know, playing kickball, throwing football. We set up beach volleyball and people are laying on the grass out there at sunset at night. So they're using that amenity that is the fire lane as a great amenity to the hotel. But the one thing I was surprised about is how much we actually use the fire lane for fire trucks and ambulances on several occasions. Now I can at least count five on, you know, that I've seen fire trucks be out in the back because things that have happened on the beach or exhaustion or things like that. And it is an identifying factor that if someone is in the back of the property, I'm at the St. Regis, I'm at near the growing, near the site, whatever, people can identify it. We also provided the only access to the beach on Longboat Key. We have a lane that runs, it was part of our negotiation with the town on the north side of the property that allows fire trucks and ambulances and rescue to get out to the beach through our property. We have a lane that goes all the way out to the beach. So I would point that out. I think there's definitely public benefit and we provided that public benefit when we built it. I would also like to mention that this growing was complete in disarray when we bought the property. We spent a couple million dollars to not only add the columns that you see on the side with the ropes, but every bit of concrete there on the bottom that you walk on was removed and replaced and strengthened because the previous growing had washed away and pieces of it had gone into the Gulf of Mexico. So we permitted that through the state as part of all this and we rebuilt it all and it's very stable now. And I can tell you on a daily basis, people are out there using it and enjoying it. So I would hope you would find a way to approve this today. I think we've been a great neighbor for the community. You know, certainly I believe it or not, 50% of our business at our restaurants, Monkey Bar, Aura, CW Prime, Riva, 50%, we keep track of it, is locals in the town coming to our property. So, you know, and a lot of people do come off the beach. So I hope you find it in your hearts today to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Questions from the board. Nick.
Mr. Chair, Chuck, I've got a few questions. Have you ever thought about putting up, every time somebody was going to have a wedding, they want to go out there, could you put a sign up there out closer to the resort and so they could see where to go? Would they need to see the sign at all? Couldn't you put it temporarily out there? I'm just curious. You ever thought about it?
Nothing to this effect. We have a lot of wind. I mean, just evidenced by last night. I mean, the storm that went through. You know, this was built to withstand over 150 mile an hour wind criteria, and it's not just for weddings. I mean, don't mistake me. It's not just for weddings. Zach, who's going to talk in a minute, I watched him get engaged underneath that arch. But it's also on a daily basis where people are out there just recording their memories. I'm sure you've been on trips before and been in front of a hotel and taken a picture of where you're at. And people do that on the Gulf of Mexico daily. So we do set up temporary structures for weddings and events and things like that, but it doesn't have the gravity of something like this. And like I said, it's very well done. I mean, we spent a lot of money on it to make it something special.
Okay, so have you ever considered putting an emergency response somewhere on your property so that somebody could hit a button that would go immediately to the public safety people if there was an emergency? Or let's say, you know, on certain colleges, they have these down in Sanibel, they have these things very publicly all over the place where people can hit a button and it immediately goes to public safety people. Have you considered putting that at St. Regis?
Generally, the button is somebody's phone now. Everybody has a telephone with them. And, you know, something you all may not know, which I didn't know up until a couple weeks ago, I was on another one of my properties, and there was a guy laying down on the side of the road, and I dialed 911, and they knew exactly where I was because your cell phones are now pinpointed. You know, the coordinates of where your cell phone are immediately pinpoint where you're at. We can't run electrical down to the beach, so it would be impossible to put that type of system down there. You just can't run electricity in that area. I mean, we'd love to have electricity down there, and we're not allowed to have that. So I don't think it's practical to be able to push a button, you know, something like that down at the beach side. And as you see from the previous pictures, the beach is about 400 foot wide in those areas. And which, by the way, the growing is what has caused the beach. I'm thoroughly impressed with, you know, Murph Clauber, you know, originally built that growing, has kept the beach even after the hurricane. Our beach diminished significantly, and it was restored so quickly because of its shape. The beach was just naturally restored from the growing being there. So it's been a huge benefit to the property.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think that this structure is aesthetically appealing?
I personally do. I helped design it, and I helped design the entire resort, and we've gotten a AAA Five Diamond Award. We've been named top resorts in the world. We've been named top family resort in the United States. I think if you look in all the articles, and we can certainly share it, we have hundreds of articles that have stated that we are the best design, best family resort, best resort. So I think we've done a good job. I know it's a personal opinion. Someone may say they don't like it, but I don't think I've heard one single guest or one person who's been there say they don't like it.
Okay. Do you think people wouldn't come to the St. Regis from the water side if this sign were up there?
No, our guests aren't coming from the waterside. We do have some boats that park occasionally, and they anchor down and they come in into the monkey bar to have drinks. This isn't, you know, this is not to advertise. I mean, it is absolutely not that we're trying to, we're not going to draw a guest because of this. But guests can record a memory because of this. It's an amenity. It makes it more special. Just like when you come in, I have two or three beautiful turtles that we made in the fountain when you come in. It's another point of photographs. People are out there taking photographs of it. It's recording a memory. It's recording their vacation. You know, it's an event in their lives, and everybody now has the cell phones that take a million pictures, and we're going to share those with you in a few minutes. But it's really not to attract guests. It's to identify, you know, here's where I'm at. Here's a picture. You know, young kids all the time taking pictures, sending it to their friends. Hey, guess where I'm at? If anybody follows Instagram, they do it with every single thing they do. It's just part of life today. And recording those moments is part of life. So we think it's important for that, and it helps create the memory versus just being on a growing, taking a picture of water behind you. You could be in St. Bart's, you could be in the Caribbean, you could be in the Bahamas, you could be anywhere. And this kind of identifies, hey, I'm here in Longboat Key, and it's good for the town. It is good for business here. And I'll tell you, I've gone down to the Met. Jeffrey down there. Jeffrey has told me time and time again, Chuck, thank you for opening the St. Regis. He said, my business has tripled since you opened this hotel. He says he took the upstairs, it was a spa, he made it all more clothing and more shopping areas. And the restaurants down there, I've talked to the owners of Columbia and the other restaurants, and they say our business has improved greatly. So I think it is an enhancement to the town, and it makes it a better stop than possibly going to the Four Seasons in Naples. And it's not the element that makes it the best, it's a contributing element that helps make us the best.
I have a comment. I live next door to the St. Regis in Sea Place, and I think it's an asset. I do. I like the sign.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question for Brenda.
I'll take my seat. Thank you.
Both representing
the applicant. Hi, Brenda. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you as well.
You may have already answered this for me, but I want it to be clear for the record. It goes back, it was raised with me actually by something Maggie said in her memo to Alan regarding sign codes, regulations, and compelling government interest. You've probably seen that memo. It's part of the record. Here's what Maggie said. The town's public-owned groins are not intended for public access.
nor for use as a recreational amenity. By contrast, the secondary purpose for the private groin owned by a commercial property owner, that's you, is for the groin to also serve an aesthetic attraction, photos, social media, etc., for the commercial property owner's invitees and guests, and as a recreational area for other beach users to use as a boardwalk walkway structure above the groin. I flagged that when I read it because I want to be clear about that. Is it the purpose of your, the intention of your company to have this boardwalk groin open to the general public who may be using the beach so that they can walk on it and off it without being harassed or engaging in a trespass? Is that the correct interpretation?
Yes, that's absolutely the correct interpretation. The idea is that the public can go up and walk on it. I mean, it doesn't have any kind of guardrail. You don't have to have a pass or card to get in. It's certainly open to the public. That's why I think it has these secondary benefits. And I agree with Maggie's statement completely.
Okay. Related to that, I agree fully with your comments about the explanation, the justification for this being public safety responses is kind of silly. When I read that in the material, I put BS in the margin because it was so obviously bull. I agree that the document ought to make clear that this is a this particular sign is a useful attribute for tourism, encouraging tourism, for public interest, and so on, and secondarily for public safety responses for identification, because by itself, just saying this whole thing is justified by public safety responses implies perhaps that the town has some obligation to add some kind of signs up and down the coast so that people could readily identify for public safety responses where they happen to be. I don't think we want to imply that. Those of us who use that public bikeway that the county has put in over there in town recognize these little plaques in the asphalt that have numbers and symbols in them every so many feet on the walkway for that purpose, so that if you have a heart attack, you can say, I'm at plaque umptidium, and that's very handy. That's not what this is about. So I agree with you. We ought to do better than that. Thank you.
May I respond?
Yes.
Thank you very much for those comments. In the real world, you're exactly right. That's how it works. I filed the application so that the St. Regis could keep their arch and their sign. And this whole issue has evolved over many weeks and months. It's so specifically written to accommodate the St. Regis that I'm agreeing with Mr. Gladding that it can be loosened up so that it is applicable to, like, instead of an archway, to any structure. You're completely right that the public safety issue almost seems secondary to the benefits of a place to memorialize ceremonies, advertising, and so forth. But I was the legal counsel to the Board of County Commissioners for 8 years. Ms. Mooney's a local government lawyer. Mr. Gladding's a lawyer. The reason it is written this way is because the law says that an ordinance that establishes policy, and Ms. Mooney has explained this is for policy. It's not a quasi-judicial, it's not a hearing about the St. Regis. It's a policy decision to change the zoning code, which applies townwide. The courts have said, if the board approving such an ordinance has any public purpose in the ordinance, then the courts will accept that determination that it serves a legitimate public purpose. You can have 100 people in the audience saying, we hate this, it's terrible, it's going to ruin everything, it's tearing my, ruining my property values, it's destroying my home. The court doesn't care. If there's one legitimate public purpose in the ordinance, the court can ignore everybody who says, this sucks. Pretty much, that's what the law says. So you're a very astute and competent lawyer. Ms. Mooney has drafted the ordinance to indicate that the public benefit. Now, I would propose some changes to that language myself, but that's why it seems inverted. Yes, you know, we're doing it for not really for fire and safety as the primary person, but that is a legitimate purpose which qualifies and makes this a legal ordinance.
Thank you.
Just as a follow-on to that, I think Chuck may have made it clear that the public safety angle is not controlling by saying that when you dial from your cell phone, it knows exactly where you made the call from. So from a public safety point of view, the sign is going to be secondary to the location as determined by the phone company. Just a point of clarification. We've heard several times that this sign has withstood Milton and Helene, but unless I'm mistaken, it was erected in 2025, and Helene and Milton were in September of 2024.
Correct? Excuse me. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last statement. It was
this sign was erected in August of 2025, which was about 11 months after Helene and Milton came through. So the statement that it survived two hurricanes is just false. Is my timing correct on that?
I don't know for sure. I've been told that it withstood two hurricanes.
I'm not sure of the exact date we actually installed the sign, but Alan, do you know? It was August of last year, so it was before the hurricanes. It was after the hurricanes. Okay, so it was after the hurricanes. I'm sorry, I didn't make that statement. But it is designed for over 150 mile an hour wind and engineered for that. So that, yeah, that was, I guess, just after that. So you're correct.
Well, I apologize for that. I just took it because I'd been told that by some of the other people involved in the project. And if it's incorrect, I do truly apologize. I never want to stand up here and tell you something that's not correct.
Those of us that evacuated the island in 2024 know exactly when those hurricanes took place. Just one other question: is there any evidence that the sign has contributed to improved occupancy, improved wedding bookings, or anything like that? Have those things improved since the sign was erected?
I believe you have a speaker card from someone from the St. Regis who can address those issues.
Okay.
And I did want to make one point. Mr. Whittle did say the intent of this is to allow people to memorialize events and so forth, and not to draw a guest. I say it's the same thing. If you know you can come and stand there and get on your knee and propose to marry someone, draws a guest. So I don't think we're in conflict on that point.
Thank you. All right, we have some other people wishing to be heard. We have Zach Justice. Do I have that right, Zach? state your name and
address
for the record.
Zach Justice, 1601 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I am affiliated with the developer, but I did want to share my story of getting engaged under the pier, under the sign. So I've been involved with this project since it was dirt, not quite as long as Chuck, but I've seen this all the way through construction. The St. Regis is a very special place for me. It's a very special place for my fiance. Originally, I had planned to propose in Captiva Island. It's somewhere that she had gone with her family quite a bit. This sign was put up in August of 2025. I got engaged in September of 2025. So I was here for one of our owner's meetings. I saw the sign go up, and I was like, man, that is just such a special place. I talked to Chuck, I talked to Kara, and said, you know, I think I'm going to change my plan. I think I want to do it at the St. Regis. So I did propose in September under the sign, had a photographer, and it's a memory that we'll have forever, and it's pictures that we'll have forever. It's something that we can always look back on and remember where that special moment happened. And my wedding is actually this upcoming Saturday, so very excited for it. You know, obviously in complete support of the sign and the memories that it can bring for people. So just wanted to share that experience.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Yeah.
Kara Hardiman.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kara Hardiman. I'm the hotel manager at the St. Regis Longboat Key, and I'm grateful for your time this morning. I thought quite a bit about what I wanted to say to you today to explain what the archway means to us at the resort. I thought about telling you that our almost 30,000 Instagram followers see the arch as a beacon and representative of the lifestyle befitting the name St. Regis and frankly Longboat Key itself. Despite the chaos of the world around us, there's no slowing of the luxury travel market on the horizon. In fact, whether it's Hyatt, Hilton, Montage, or my own Marriott International, luxury is the future of travel. That competition means that as a luxury resort, we must remain in a place of relevance and recognition. It's that relevance that allows us to employ 400 plus locals, give back to the community in both fundraising and service efforts, and contribute millions of tax dollars for the betterment of the community, which we're proud to be a part of. I thought about telling you that we've named the cormorant who starts many mornings directing our beach team, Archie, due to his vantage point from the arch itself. Then I thought I would tell you how proud we are that the groin serves as our commitment to the environment around us through erosion prevention, and that the arch and its sign are the guide point from where we teach reef rangers, our children's programming, to love the world around them. Had you stayed with us this last weekend, you would have seen our director of recreation with three generations of family learning about the dolphins swimming by the groin. That family asked him to take their photo under that arch to cement that memory for them. You'd also have heard a local resort member talking to our photo concierge about doing a beach photo shoot, inclusive of the key shot, sunset on the groin, under the arch, because that's where her kids will grow up and memories will be shared. You'd have seen a grieving widower take one last photo with his adult daughter as they celebrated a beach that they loved as a family. And that's when it hit me. Relevance and luxury travel, staying ahead of the competition, sort of all pale in comparison to what matters to us about that archway and sign. If we take a look at some of these photos, this is what's actually important and what matters. I've worked for Marriott for 20 plus years, and here's what I've learned. Luxury hospitality is making people feel seen and heard because we're humans humaning with other humans. My title is hotel manager, but the actual role is memory maker, and that's true of my team as well. Under that archway, you see a future bride who's celebrating. That's not just a cup of tea in her hand. That's the day that she received a letter that said she could put doctor in her signature. You'll see anniversary celebrated, a trio of girlfriends who are determined to stay together no matter who else joins their tribe. You'll see Zach's beautiful proposal. And look, Mom, look how far I can run. You'll see another proposal. You'll see a bride and groom who were just married and took a moment to themselves at the end of the pier. This is a trio with our cormorant in the background, soon to be a quartet, who will take that picture year after year as they join us at our resort. If I may have just a few more seconds.
Please wrap up.
Family and friends and time spent with loved ones is what the arch represents to us. It's not just an arch or a sign, it's the commemoration of life's best and hardest moments. It's a shared memory and a moment to capture. And with grace, I ask for your support in allowing us to keep our arch. It's our memory, and it's our promise to this place that we love. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Maureen Merrigan?
Hi, Maureen Merrigan, 301 North Shore, and thank you all for serving as you do on the Planning and Zoning Board. And, you know, of course, we all support and love the St. Regis. It's a fabulous property. What I want to discuss is what appears to be some legal gymnastics to carve out an exception to the Longbow Key Code. I'm going to assume that the Longbow Key Code reflects careful planning and the current code restrictions on commercial signage, especially at our beaches, bays, and waterways, exist for good reason. Not for safety with hurricanes, that's a piece of it, but I think there's significant aesthetic value that we have to think about, as well as our community character. I can tell you with good certainty that the vast majority of Longbow Key residents, certainly on the north end, would want you to keep our beaches, bays, and water edges free of commercial signage. But I want to speak to you as from my experience as a prior town commissioner. Personally, I was surprised that this even came from the commission back to planning and zoning. Exceptions can be difficult to deal with, and it's a slippery slope. To me, this sets a precedent and creates different standards and will result in a, they can put a text amendment in, why can't I? Or they can do this, why can't I? We have a lot of good commercial properties, and they can't do what they want to do with signage. I mean, Shore might want to put a sign out on their dock, or Cannons, a big mural on their wall that's still very tastefully done, or Zoda, a sign on the beach. And they will ask, you carved out an exception for them with a text amendment, why not us? And you know what? They should ask that. So over time, these types of carve-outs can gradually erode the zoning framework this committee and the commission is responsible for protecting. I imagine that there's some criteria for when you make exceptions for variances or carve-outs, but this is not a unique hardship. The variance and exception being requested is not consistent with the intent of the code or the comp plan. I think it is a stretch to say it's for safety reasons. The exception being requested does not have an exceptional public benefit. The town, the residents are not begging for the sign to be there. And the problem that's being asked to be solved was actually self-created. So I know how hard it is to hold the line when a request seems reasonable and the applicant is a good neighbor, and they are a good neighbor. But I also know what happens when we don't. If we make this kind of exception or carve out, the next developer or business walks in and says, they got one, and they will be right. Do what the commission could not do a month ago and recommend against changing this code. Thank you.
Thank you. Diane Canny?
Hello, I agree completely. And I'm a resident of the Beach Place, and thousands of other residents are concerned about the sign. And it's not the sign, it's the precedent that's the biggest concern. I moved here from the Boca Grande area for this natural beauty.
I'm sorry, did you state your name and your address?
Oh, Diane Canny. I live on in Beach Place, and thousands of residents are neighbors to this location, and I've lived there and I've seen the arch go up. It's not the arch, it's this present that we're discussing. It's a developer overreach potentially on a private, unique groin. So it's my opinion and of many residents like myself that don't see it as the aesthetics that we're talking about. It's metal, it's highly reflective. Some complain of bright glares flashing back from their oceanfront views. There are some sanitation issues. Those same lovely birds, if you notice in most of the pictures, there's lots of feces from the birds. There's strong odors from it. So it's sort of created an environment that really isn't natural and pristine. And lastly, coming from Boca Grande, living through Hurricane Ian, these hurricanes were nothing compared to a direct hit that could be a floating projectile, we called it. We had collapsed pretzel building just actually on Boca Grande where I lived. So
the life safety. I love the fact that we're referring to quick medical care, but what if something happened where you have this metal arch that ends up damaging individuals, a bad press for the St. Regis, and actually the Marriott has their own brand on that arch. So anything that negative happens to that, you know, Marriott's been known for being trustworthy, obeying the laws. So we're really talking about an exception. All the nice stories around this very successful corporation and all that you've done is great for the island, but I'm speaking on behalf, I'd like to think of all the residents who can't be here today that are counting on you. Thousands of people will be affected by this if other corporations come in and do the same. And lastly, talking to Marriott International, we're not aware of their brand on that arch, and the idea that other companies, if they sell the St. Regis to a Chinese entity or Saudi corporations, which is very popular now in the hotel industry, you'd have an unusual name that would be replacing the St. Regis. So think of this for decades to come and the decisions you're making today that are affecting people who would like to speak out to make sure they can still live in the beautiful beaches that we have here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I've got another question for Brenda. Can we ask her to come back to clarify something?
Yes, we're still in. We're still open. The public hearing is still open.
This is for Brenda. I just want to ask you a question. You said in your presentation, Brenda, that you said you accepted almost all of the staff's recommendation, but you said there were a couple of minor things that you were suggesting changes. Will you please address those?
Yes, let me just say that I think I mentioned at the beginning that this has been a very long process. I've had many discussions with your attorney, Maggie Mooney, and Alan Parsons. We feel like we have the DEP permit and your codes don't prohibit what's there. So we feel that all this is unnecessary. Now, I really don't want to get into this in the detail. You're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. I don't want to spend 20 minutes going through the code and explain to you why I think we don't really need to be doing this, because then Maggie and I will have to have this big debate. Please don't have that. But we think that there are ways to interpret your code differently from the way they have been interpreted, and I'd just like to leave it like that.
So are you saying you're not going to suggest any changes to either of these two ordinances?
Yes, that wasn't your question. If the question is, do I have changes to suggest?
Yes, I want to know what you're suggesting.
Okay. Perhaps, though, we should wait until we've had the public hearing on the sign code, and then hear the changes to both.
It's not on the ZTA, it's just only on the ordinance?
Yes, I think it might make more sense for me to make a couple of comments how I would change this.
You want to make comments on the text amendment, on the zoning amendment?
Yes, on the zoning. I'm only commenting on proposed ordinance 2026-07. For the first point, I would say everywhere that it says archway or archway structure, strike that language and just leave it as structure, because there's no need to restrict it to a parabola, an arch, a square, whatever. I would strike archway. And in the 1, 2, 3, the fourth whereas clause on ordinance 2026-07, it says in the third line down, it says there is a public benefit to allowing signage. I would change that to be more consistent with the case law. I would say there is a public purpose and benefit to allowing signage identifying the party or parties responsible for, and then I would strike maintenance and liability. I would just say responsible for the private growing structure. Going into the on the second page, the amendment, the portion with underlining adding section 158.094(c)(1)(d). It says, the fourth line down, it says a single archway structure with an embedded sign identifying the responsible entity for the structure and groin. I would change that language to say a single structure with a sign. I would eliminate embedded throughout the ordinance. It's not even necessary. I'd say a single structure with a sign identifying the responsible entity for the structure or groin may be allowed. I like using the word responsible, and that takes me to the last page, third page of the ordinance, subparagraph 6 there, which Mr. Gladding brought up. I would change that to say the strike archway and embedded. I would say the structure and sign shall be maintained in good repair at the sole expense and responsibility of the owner. I prefer to use the word responsibility rather than liability because, as I mentioned before, liability suggests who's going to pay the injured party for their damages. And that, as we all know, it is a lawsuit. I mean, like I said before, if a boat crashed over the groin, knocked the sign down, and someone was injured, I don't want the ordinance to say it's the owner's liability. It's the owner's responsibility, and that responsibility could entail going to court and finding out who has liability for this person's injury. So, if that makes sense. So those are the changes I would propose.
All right, so are you still accepting, though, this?
Yes, I do.
But then why are you suggesting all these changes? When would that happen? Before the commission?
As I said, for the purposes of this hearing, I accept the staff report and accept the ordinances that are proposed. But if we lose, we may end up in court looking at some bigger issues.
All right, I'm going to close. Paul, did you have something?
Yeah, I had a question.
On the zoning portion.
Yes, because as I understood, Brenda, you said that you got the approval of Department of Environmental Protection and that there is no prohibition in the Longbow Key zoning of having a sign. And I thought there was a prohibition from the 150 feet from the high water line or whatever the right term of that. I thought there was a prohibition of that.
Well, that section is under your code, under the waterfront yard section of your code. It says the waterfront yard is 150 feet from the erosion control line. That's going landward. This structure is seaward. So I'm saying if you read through all the provisions, the whereases and so forth in the portion of your code establishing waterfront yard, it was intended to regulate landward of the erosion control line. No one thought it regulated going backwards into the Gulf of Mexico.
Really?
Mr. Chair, that is Brenda Patton and Chuck Whittle's argument. The town's position is that our code and our jurisdiction absolutely extends into the waters of the state where the groin structure lies, and that they permitted the groin structure through the town, and it is disingenuous to come back and say, oh, we don't have authority over a structure atop another structure we've already permitted. But that is a legal argument that we have agreed to set aside for now, and if we have to litigate it in court, we will. And instead, the applicant has sought this potential solution to avoid having to make those arguments. So this was the argument we weren't going to make until Brenda opened the door, so now we're making it. But the point here is that all of those arguments, to the extent that they will ever be resolved, will have to be resolved in a court of law.
Yes.
And not by this board, not by the town commission. And so this text amendment is an effort to address the problem without having to litigate those issues.
And if I may add one point to that, I don't disagree that you, the town, of course, has jurisdiction over waters. Maggie sent me the map showing the jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is one thing. You have to activate, implement your jurisdiction by adopting regulations that control what goes on within your jurisdiction. My point is your ordinances don't back up to this particular type of growing and structure in the Gulf of Mexico. So you have jurisdiction, but you have to implement the jurisdiction through regulation that's applicable. I'm saying your regulations don't do the job. But please, let's not get into that debate. There are other lawyers in the room. We could all jump in. It would be quite a discussion.
All right. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on 07 and open the public hearing on 08. And then when that public hearing on 08 is concluded, 2026-08 is concluded, we will then have further discussion on.
Mr. Chairman, should we take a break since one of our five members has already taken a break? And I could use one as well.
So granted, can we keep it to
5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Yeah, great.
We will resume the public hearing. Now opens for 2026-08. Alan, you will give the presentation on the sign.
Do you want to read the?
Oh, yes. Let me read.
I didn't remember either.
Let me read the title. Let me find the title. Agenda item 7B, ordinance 2026-08, amending chapter 156 sign code, section 156-02 definitions and 156-07 specific sign regulations. An ordinance of the town of Longboat Key, Florida, modifying and amending title 15 land development code, chapter 156 sign code, amending section 156-02 definitions, amending section 156-07 specific sign regulations, adding subsection F private groin sign, providing for severability, providing for repeal of all ordinances in conflict herewith, providing for codification, providing for an effective date. Now the public hearing is open. Alan.
Thank you very much. Good morning again, board members. For the record, Alan Parsons. So this is the companion amendment. It's a publicly initiated amendment, unlike the public hearing that you just had on ordinance 2026-07, which was privately initiated. And as I mentioned in that public hearing, the town sign code ordinance, which is chapter 156 of the town code, does not have a similar kind of provision for fee simple property owners to be able to initiate amendments. So in terms of background here, the Town Commission did authorize staff at their regular meeting on December 8th to prepare an amendment to the sign code with language then that the staff could support for public hearing consideration. And just to reemphasize again, in the Commission's action in doing that, the Commission did not indicate that they would either support or oppose whatever kind of language, but they wanted to provide the opportunity to potentially allow for the signage that was installed on this groin that we've been talking about all morning to have a public hearing on that. So the companion zoning text amendment has to do with aspects in the zoning code about structures. We're talking about a structure, whether it's archway or not, but the language that had been proposed was an archway structure that is both a structure and a sign. So it is regulated by the zoning code in terms of it being a structure, and then a sign in terms of its communicating something. So Those two aspects of town code regulate the location and any kind of requirements associated with having a sign on a groin feature that's out in the Gulf. This publicly initiated amendment would address two sections of the sign code, which currently would otherwise prohibit a sign of this type and in this location. As we discussed, and there's going to be a lot of similarity between this one and the zoning text amendment, so it will certainly feel duplicative, and it is. This would apply townwide. There is currently only one privately owned groin with a pedestrian walkway, but should there be any additional ones in the future, this amendment to the sign code would similarly allow for an archway structure with an embedded sign. The memorandum from the town attorney about sign code and how sign codes have to be content neutral. They cannot privilege one form of a use over another is very much relevant in this particular ordinance here. So in terms of there being a public purpose, identification of who is responsible, whether that is for, you know, contacting public safety, or if it's just identifying this is a privately owned groin, it is not a publicly owned groin. That is the public purpose that has been incorporated into the language that staff can support, that meets the sort of legal requirement to not privilege one form of allowance for signage for tourism use, say, over some other kind of use. That is the language that has been incorporated into Ordinance 2026-08. Staff is supportive of allowing for signage that would provide that kind of identifying information. I may have overemphasized the aspect of being able to call for public safety, but just to identify ownership that this feature, which is open to the public, is not a Town of Longboat Key owned and maintained groin feature, so that there is a public purpose benefit to identifying that it is privately owned and not publicly owned is part of the reason for the staff support here. So similar to the zoning code, the sign code for the installation of this sign, which did go in last August after the hurricanes, it is not allowed for a couple of reasons in the sign code. One of those that I mentioned in the zoning text amendment is that this form of signage is called an outdoor advertising sign in the town code. And then the kind of signage that's allowed on tourism zone property are really for standalone signs, only ground-mounted type signs. And that's a low-scale type sign. Monument type sign is another name that it's often referred to. Otherwise, the only type signage are things that are in some way attached to buildings. And then we talked about the relationship between this and the zoning code in terms of the structure location. So the first part of the sign code aspect that is currently non-conforming with this sign that had been installed is this outdoor advertising type of sign, and that's basically any sign that's off-site. What may be difficult to kind of see here on the screen in yellow are the property boundaries from the property appraiser, and the only thing that I'm wanting to point out here is that the beachside property boundary does not incorporate the actual groin feature. So this would be on-site, anything then that is advertising, you know, a service in this case that is not on the same property falls under the town's definition of an outdoor advertising sign. Presently, that is prohibited in the town. And then in terms of the sign type, so the shape that it's a archway type of structure. In all of our zoning districts, whether that's residential, commercial, tourism, institutional, the only types of standalone type signs that are allowed are these ground-mounted type signs. So this as a sign type would not be allowed. So what is proposed here in the ordinance is creating a new type of sign. So that's added to the definition. The definition would be identifying a type of sign called a private groin sign, and has the language here that you're familiar with. And then in terms of the specific sign regulation, so these are the how tall can it be, where can it be located on site. There's different standards for residential, and there's different standards for commercial, tourism, institutional type uses. This then is adding a new type of sign type, where it's allowed, and then the features of that type of sign. So the language is very similar to the zoning text amendment that's a companion here, that it would be allowed on privately owned groin structures that have a pedestrian walkway and that extend out into the Gulf, and that the structure and embedded sign is limited to identifying the responsible entity for the structure and the groin, and the intent further behind that is just to identify the ownership and liability associated with anyone that may be using that groin feature. Then the standards then, so should someone meet that by having a privately owned groin extending out into the Gulf, etc., the standards are, they mirror those that are in the zoning code, where the height is limited to 14 feet, the archway structure is not going to create an enclosed space, the maximum width of what the structure is made out of is 8 by 8 inches thick, it has to be designed to withstand winds of 150 miles per hour, cannot be illuminated, it's going to have all the applicable approvals and permits, and then its responsibility is to be maintained in good repair by the owner. And then this here, again, like the other one, they both have this provision that the adoption of Ordinance 2026-08 is ultimately going to be contingent upon the adoption of the companion zoning text amendment. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Alan on the sign code? I guess I have.
Are we going to hear from the proponents?
No, we're asking Alan. We are, but that'll be next. But we'll okay. Typically ask if there are questions, if there are questions of the staff. I guess one question I would ask Alan is if one of the purposes is to identify the ownership of the property for responsibility's sake, I think this says that if you wanted to do that, if you had a private groin and you wanted to have a sign that said owned by Zota, mm-hmm. Owned and maintained by Zota or whatever, it would, if I understand, it would have to be an archway sign that did that. They couldn't put a sign at the entrance to that groin 150 feet away from the EC, away from 150 feet landward of the ECL. They couldn't put a little sign on there that said this is owned by the Zota.
That is correct, yes. At least the way that it's been drafted here is to, essentially allow just that type of structure. So I did hear from the applicant, and in response to a question about the shape of the structure being an archway, staff wouldn't have any objection to the allowance, should that be the recommendation here for approval, that there's nothing from a public purpose perspective that would privilege a shape of an archway over any other shape.
Right. And in fact, restrict someone, and if we're writing this for to apply to all groins, including those that might be built in the future, it would restrict them. They would need to come to us for a different shape of a sign, even if it was a 5x or a 3x5 sign that was at the entrance to their groin. They would need an exception. They would need an amendment to do that.
That is correct, yes.
All right. Brenda and Chuck, you're up.
Thank you. First of all, it's a new public hearing. For the record, my name is Brenda Patton with the firm of Berlin Patton Ebling in Sarasota, and I'm representing Unicor and LBK, SRLBK LLC, owner of the St. Regis. So that I don't have to do another presentation, I would like to incorporate by reference all of the evidence and testimony that was entered into the record in the previous hearing on ordinance 2026-07. That's incorporated now into the record. I just learned that Mr. Flager is a judge, so hopefully you'll agree with this technique, but I do incorporate into the record everything that was said in the prior hearing, so we don't have to repeat it. But I would like to make a couple of additional comments. This is a legislative hearing. It is not a quasi-judicial hearing. And the case law is very clear. A legislative decision is based on what is good public policy in the eyes of the individuals making the decisions. It's based on a legitimate public purpose. A decision in a legislative matter does not create a precedent. So all the comments you heard from the individuals about what SOTA or other properties would do, that's irrelevant to this hearing. A decision on a legislative matter does not create a precedent. And besides, this ordinance will only apply to private groins with a walkway in the Gulf of America, and the chances of any others being built, frankly, are very remote. So my point is approval of ordinance 2026-07 and 2026-08 will not create a precedent. It does not bind you under the law. You make a decision based on your decision of the public benefit every time you have a legislative hearing, so can apply. And those are the end of my comments, and I would recommend the same changes in ordinance 2026-08 as I previously suggested for 2026-07. Thank you.
Brenda, can I ask Brenda a question?
Yes.
Brenda, one question for you. Is it your assumption that the language that this document, 2026-08, will retroactively authorize the existing sign?
Yes, staff and I have discussed that, and if this is approved, it will apply to the existing structures on the St. Regis groin. They'll be approved.
Alan, could we please have a picture of the existing sign, big enough so that we can see it clearly?
The St. Regis sign. And my
is that as big as you can get the?
I have one in mind
sign?
That it's a full.
Yeah, the young lady had a bigger sign that that took up the whole screen. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Oops.
Well, yeah. Okay. There it is. Excellent. Right there. Question for counsel. As I read it, The language of 156.07, the proposed language, on page 3 of the document. You with me?
I can put that up on the screen here.
No, maybe I'm not.
No, that was a good...
Which document?
Now I am.
I'm looking at Agenda Item 7B.
Yep.
2026, Ordinance 2026-08, page 3.
Yes.
Page 3 of the staff memo.
Of the document.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're working from, isn't it? And would you put the picture back up, please?
Okay. This is the ordinance in case we want...
Yeah, I don't need that because we all have the document in front of us. Put the picture back up. The document says the archway structure and embedded sign shall be limited to identifying the responsible entity for the structure and groin, so ownership and liability can be identified by the walkway users and the public from the public beach. And then it goes on with other material. The sign says, among other things, Longboat Key. Is it your view that that Longboat Key part of the sign would have to come down under the new ordinance because Longboat Key is not the responsible entity for the structure and groin and is not ownership and liability identification?
No, I don't think it would have to change because St. Regis Longboat Key is a separate entity from St. Regis Bell Harbor.
Speak up.
St. Regis Longboat Key is an entity of its own. It is different than St. Regis Bell Harbor, St. Regis, Puerto Rico, St. Regis New York. There are different St. Regis entities throughout the country and the world, and the responsible entity for this groin is St. Regis Longboat Key.
So Longboat Key could remain.
Correct.
Good, because I like having it there. That's one of the nice things I like about the sign. I wanted to be sure that there was no problem, even though the language is rather limiting to identifying the responsible entity. But your view is the responsible entity is St. Regis of Longboat Key.
Correct.
Fine. That's good for the record. Okay. That's my only question at this point.
Chuck, do you have more?
Chuck Woodall, 1601 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I'll just be brief. A couple of public comments on precedent setting. I'm not an attorney, so I'm going to say it a little different than Brenda. I've been in hundreds of these hearings, and the purpose of these hearings are to have arbiters like yourself be able to hear the extenuating, unique circumstances of each hearing. Every hearing is different, and whether it's a criminal hearing or a civil hearing or a public zoning hearing, to listen to the extenuating circumstances that are unique to what is being presented in front of you is why we have these hearings, and that's why we have these requests and waivers and all the different things that we can do within zoning. So I would say it is not precedent setting, and if somebody else brought a case to you on another property, once again, they would be due to have a fair hearing and listen, and maybe that makes sense or maybe it doesn't make sense. And I think, with what Kara's presented, what I presented, what Brenda's presented, that it makes sense in this circumstance. And maybe 10 years from now or 20 years from now, somebody will bring something else up. And once again, the whole point of having a hearing like this is to listen to them and come up with what may be a fair conclusion, because everything written in black and white isn't always black and white. So thank you for listening today, and thank you for doing the jobs that you all do. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. I don't have any other requests to be heard. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2026-08. And then let me ask a question of council. May we have the discussion about both 2607 and 08 simultaneously? May the board discuss that simultaneously?
No, you have to take them both up individually because okay. We needed the record. Now you can refer because I think there was certainly Ms. Patent and Mr. Woodall have indicated testimony that applies to both, as has all of their evidence. So, I mean, what I would ask, though, is when you refer to 08, you just also, any deliberations that happen in 07 that are applicable, that you affirm that and just affirm that that same rationale that applied in 07, to the extent it does, will also apply in 08.
We will deliberate on 07 and we will bring it to closure.
Correct.
Before opening 08.
Correct. Correct.
All right. I would ask the board for discussion. Paul?
Could I ask? Yeah, I want to understand the process. It's a process question, Maggie. If we approve this today, both these ordinances, it goes to the town commission and they review it. If we don't approve it today, does anything go to the town commission or is it just done?
No, no matter what action you take today, it'll go to the commission. What you are doing on both of these ordinances is providing a recommendation. You can recommend approval, you can recommend denial, you can recommend approval with modifications. That's always within your purview. You can also conceivably, although I haven't seen it before, but you could do it, you could recommend denial and you can articulate reasons and changes that you may like to see going forward. You could do that too.
Yes. Other discussion on the zoning portion.
I'll start. First of all, regardless of what comments I may have made or otherwise asked questions, I'm a big believer about St. Regis. I think it has done a lot for Longbow Key. I think it will continue to enhance properties on Longbow Key. However, I am troubled with this ordinance, both of them. We'll talk to 2007. I do not think it's a good idea for a variety of reasons. I don't think it will be deleterious to St. Regis. That's my own opinion. Maybe it will, but I don't think so if we say no. I'm not convinced, notwithstanding the great work that our council and staff did, I'm not convinced that this is really a public interest proposal. It's basically a commercial single entity benefit. And I think we're setting a very bad precedent. And I think it's, notwithstanding what Chuck is saying, and Brenda's correct, that it would be somebody else would have to come up and try to qualify at a different public hearing if they wanted to do something like this. That's true. But what one of the ladies spoke out here, it's a slippery slope. Zoda could come in and say, well, I want to do something. Yeah, I don't have that, but I want to do this. And other people could do the same thing. And we don't want to see Longbow Key turn into the Jersey beach.
Careful.
Hey.
We just don't. We just don't, in my opinion, and this
point
is...
Point of order, personal offense.
And, well, I live in Longbow Key. You know, and so I just don't think it's good policy. I think it's bad policy for us board to do this. And that's the way I feel.
I am, like I said, I live next door. They are wonderful neighbors. I like the sign. I don't have a problem with it. So I'm in favor of the sign.
Paul?
Yeah, I like the sign. I love what St. Regis has done, the creativity. It's a tremendous property. But I am probably even more with Nick. This is not something that we should approve. I think it's a convoluted, and I won't use the language that my esteemed colleague used, but it's a convoluted and silly process that we're going through to justify this, and I don't think it's the right way to go. And so I would, you know, when it comes time, I will vote no.
Mr. Plager.
I've sat on this board now for some years, including the original proposal for the St. Regis, replacing the old Colony Club little huts that were there when we were a small town and so on. And the size and complexity and commercialization of that property was somewhat of a shock to me. But over time, I accepted what was clearly the direction the town was going in, and I have supported, I must say, one of our speakers suggested one should support and love the St. Regis. I don't love it. I save my love for people and good music, but I do support the St. Regis since it is now part of the town and part of our reality. And the die was cast back then to have a major commercial entity established on our otherwise little, what I think of as a little residential island. And it's turned out to be just fine for its purposes. Accordingly, I don't find the fact that the St. Regis wants to put up this particular sign and this particular archway to be inconsistent with a direction that the town has taken from the time we began discussing the idea of having the St. Regis there. And some of you may remember what we went through working out the parking problems that arose with this development. We worked through all of that. So this little bit of archway and sign shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. Now, with all due respect to my colleague who finds it offensive, what we're doing here is we're easing some of our rather strict regulations. I am generally in favor of easing unnecessary and restrictive regulations. And this move, although it's certainly tailored to this particular owner, is not offensive to me, because the next owner who is in the same position, I'll probably be supportive of that too, if that's where the town is heading. So on the whole, I find this issue not a difficult one at all. In fact, I want to give my congratulations to the St. Regis, because what they're proposing is a rather tasteful and well-designed little piece of structure to add to an otherwise enormous program and project that we have approved and allowed to be developed. In my years in working on commissions like this and boards like this, dealing with zoning and planning, I've seen some of the most outrageous signs, which are disgusting. This particular sign is tasteful, and I congratulate the gentleman who developed it. I think it's not at all offensive. So I'm 100% in favor of allowing them to have a commercial sign on this commercial property, which I'm pleased to say we have now had a clear statement is open to general public access for those who want to walk out on it, which is a great improvement over some of our other property owners on the beach who refuse to allow people to pass on the beach outrageously, in my view. So I think this is a perfectly fine development, which the die was cast some years back and doesn't shock me at all. So with all due respect to the opposition, I'm going to vote in favor of sending this forward. The only question I have is whether when it goes forward, will there be an opportunity for the petitioner and the town to make whatever changes may be warranted as a result of the rather detailed discussion we've had today, or are the suggestions and comments we've made just a waste of time? Are we actually going to be able to see an improvement in these documents along the lines that have been discussed? How will that work out, Alan?
Do we have to open the public hearing for me to respond, or?
Why don't I answer that instead? Okay. So it all depends on the direction of the board. If the board votes approval, and I think what we've heard right now is a 2-2 split with one member who hasn't weighed in yet. If you vote approval, you certainly need to approval with some changes. You need to articulate as a board what those changes are. If you vote denial and but indicate that you'd like to see changes, you need to, again, vote those changes into place. Just because you have a discussion and something is important to one individual does not necessarily mean that there has been a direction or a recommendation to make certain changes. So it has to, any recommendations going forward need to come and be voted on by the board.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to vote to approve in principle with the assumption that there will be an opportunity for the petitioner and the town staff to put their heads together and come up with a slight.
There's no motion before us. We're just discussing here. Yeah, there's no
okay.
motion.
I'm telling you how I plan to deal with it.
Okay. May I respond? I never used the word offensive. In my discussion, I have never said that, and I didn't.
You never used
didn't
what?
Say it. So please withdraw those statements about what I said.
You didn't use the word offensive.
Oh, we were just kidding when you talked about New Jersey. For heaven's sakes, come on, Nick. That was just a joke.
These are my opinions, but I didn't use those words.
Oh, well, certainly. I apologize if somebody suggested you were offensive. Come on.
All right.
A little sense of humor about what we're doing.
So, we've heard a lot of words this morning, like could be, maybe, could be interpreted as, could be viewed as, could be, should there be an emergency? A lot of conditional words. We've also heard that the public safety argument is essentially not real. We've heard that future signs would have to be this large and would have to be in the form of an arch in order to identify the responsible party. That is precedent setting. it should be clear, if we strip away all the pretense, what we're doing here. We're permitting, and I think the discussion has reflected this, we're permitting a sign for a single property owner within the, we're changing the code so that a single property owner, a good citizen, a valuable citizen of the town, can have a sign. I think the code exists, our codes exist to protect the town. I asked earlier about the 150-yard requirement, 150, I'm sorry, foot requirement. They exist to protect us. I don't know what happened. I'm not an engineer. I don't know whether, I've looked at the drawing. I don't know whether this structure would survive 150-mile-an-hour hurricane, or if wave action were to knock it down, what would happen to it? Excuse me, what would happen to it in 150-mile-an-hour winds? So I'm uncomfortable with approving this, and mine would be a no vote. So with that, I would ask, unless there's any further discussion, I would ask for a motion to approve or deny the ordinance 2026-08.
I'll so move.
07, I'm sorry. Alan corrected me. 07.
Well, I appreciate the point you made, which we're taking them one at a time, but we can't take them one at a time because they're linked. We can't approve one without the other, and that's very clear from the way they're written, and it's clear from the discussion. So I'm going to move that we approve both of these ordinances in principle, with the opportunity for the petitioner and the town staff to work out some of the minor details that have been discussed at length during the discussion this morning, so that we're not wasting our time by going through this stuff with care, which is what we've been doing. And I might add that my view is not premised in any way on the quality of the St. Regis management or on anything else. My view is simply we have created a commercial enterprise on this town, which we have supported as a board and as a town. And this is entirely consistent, in my view, with that commercial enterprise. So I want to remove an unnecessary regulatory obstacle to the property owner being able to use their property this manner.
I think we understand your point of view. I have a question of council, though. Can we approve the two together? I think we must. We must.
You cannot. The only hearing and the only ordinance that's before you right now is ordinance number 2026-07, that you have to take these up one at a time. While they may be contingent upon one another, you still have to take action on each ordinance separately.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. I move we approve the first one.
2026-07. We have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Is there a second? Second. Member Plager and Member Nuzzo. Is there any further discussion of the motion? Donna, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Plager?
Aye.
Ms. Nuzzo?
Aye.
Mr. Gladding?
No.
Mr. Hilbert?
No.
Mr. Lebowski?
No. The motion is denied.
Can we move on to the next one?
We can now move on to 2026-08.
An uncomfortable feeling, it's a waste of time, but let's take it up anyway. I move we approve 07. 08, for the same reasons.
Mr. Chairman, just to make sure, you've reopened the public hearing for 2026-08 so that board member Plager could make that motion to approve. I just want to clarify that.
I have reopened the public hearing for 2026-08.
Great. Thank you.
And now I will entertain a motion.
So moved. You made the motion.
Second.
Second.
Moved by Member Plager, seconded by Member Nuzzo. Any further discussion of the motion? Donna, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Plager?
Aye.
Ms. Nuzzo?
Aye.
Mr. Glading?
No.
Mr. Hilbert?
No.
Mr. Lepofsky?
No. The motion is denied, 3-2.
Just a question, does there need to be a actual motion and recommendation for denial?
We have not in the past, right?
What is the question?
Does there need to be a motion for denial rather than the failure of a motion to approve?
You pull up our text amendment provision. Sorry, this thing is staticky today. So the way that the code reads is that the Planning and Zoning Board, regardless of the source of the proposed change, shall hold a public hearing with due public notice and shall submit in writing its recommendation on the proposed change to the Town Commission for official action. So you've not made a recommendation. You have voted down an affirmative act of approval.
So the recommendation would be to deny the approval.
Correct.
So we do need to have.
So you do correct. So you're still in the public hearing for ordinance 2026-08. We may need to go back to 07 and make an affirmative recommendation of the board, not a passive,
not a negative.
Not a negative, correct.
Negative recommendation. We could stay in 08 and do that, though, rather than.
Yes, go let's back. Stay in 08 because we're there right now.
Okay, I would ask for a motion to deny ordinance 2026-08.
Second.
I didn't hear the motion. Did you make the motion? Moved by Mr. Hilbert and seconded by Mr. Glading. Any further discussion on the motion? Ms. Chipman, please call the roll.
Mr. Hilbert?
Aye.
Mr. Glading?
Aye.
Mr. Lepofsky?
Yes.
Ms. Nuzzo?
No.
Mr. Plager?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we move on, so and we might need to have a conversation with Ms. Patton about it. We may have to come back when we have. So the code goes on to read. Let me just express this. If the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board is for denial of the proposed change, such change shall not become effective by an affirmative vote of not less than 4 members of the Town Commission. Okay, we're okay. After due public notice. Okay, you guys are okay. Sorry. We have a provision like that in the Planning Board. Okay, never mind. I'm trying to read ahead.
Okay.
Proceed on, and we can go.
Okay, I'm closing the public hearing on
2026-07-08,
and now we're going to 2026-07. I would ask for a motion to deny 2026-07.
So moved. Second.
Any further discussion of the motion? Ms. Chipman, please call the roll.
Mr. Hilbert?
Aye.
Mr. Glading?
Aye.
Mr. Lepofsky?
Yes.
Ms. Nuzzo?
Yes.
Mr. Plager?
No.
Four to one.
I got 4-1 on that. All right.
Okay.
That concludes that portion of our meeting. I would thank you for being here. I would ask if there's any staff update, Alan.
Thank you, Chair. No staff updates today.
Any planning and zoning member comments? Nick.
Matter of personal privilege, if I will.
It's yours.
This is my last meeting, and I want to tell you all that it's been a privilege and an honor to serve with you, and I really have appreciated staff, all the hardworking, and our council for everything that they have done and you have all done, including Ron, who isn't here, and Eddie.
And Eddie. Be here.
And I think you've done a tremendous job for the town. You're not paid. You're volunteered. And I look forward to seeing you to your further recommendations after I'm sworn in. So thank you for all of your assistance helping me along the way. And any mistakes I've made have not been yours. They're mine own.
Well,
take care.
Thank you for your service to the Planning and Zoning Board and to the town, and your continued service as you take the big step up to the next unpaid position that you will undertake.
I have one comment. Yep. I'd like to thank St. Regis and their council, as well as other members of the community for weighing in on this important, potential action today. And again, reiterate that I think St. Regis has been a great citizen, and we wish them continued success in all that they do.
Thank you, Paul.
Before we adjourn, I have a question for Alan. Comes under comments.
Please.
Alan, at our last meeting, we discussed in great detail the questions that we thought we would put to the experts at our workshop. I don't think we have a meeting between now and the workshop, do we?
No, we do not. Yeah, that'll be a special meeting that'll happen before your regular meeting.
I'm sorry, say that again?
If it's going to be a special meeting, a workshop meeting, that'll happen before your regularly scheduled meeting, yes.
I was going to ask, when do we get to review the questions?
We put out the agenda materials a week in advance, and I think it's April 13th.
It is April 13th.
Yeah, that's when the meeting is on the 13th.
Monday, April 13th.
Yeah. But so we would get packets out to everyone.
I'd like to see the questions before the meeting in case there's any need for further discussion.
I think what Alan is saying is that a week before the meeting, a week before this special meeting, yeah, we'll get the package of information, right?
Yes, that's right. And the board did go through, you were absent at that, just confirming the questions that would be posed to the subject matter experts. So we're happy to provide that to you if you don't have that.
Okay, are we comfortable with that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you were here for that.
Materials that prepares us for the workshop meeting.
Yep, and I apologize.
Correct?
You were here for that meeting.
I was thinking. I'm the one.
Yes, it was the chair that was not here. I apologize.
Okay.
So we'll get the package on our normal 1 week ahead,
yes,
schedule, and yep, we'll have an opportunity to review the questions.
Yeah, some of the subject matter experts, I think, are going to be providing some answers in writing, and then some will just be prepared to be able to speak to those questions.
And we will do it in the round or in a U shape.
We'll set up on the floor here with the setup that the board has had on a number of occasions, that round table kind of setup.
Have you been able to identify the experts?
Yes.
And they're able to make the meeting?
Yes, I'm not sure about maybe one of them. So we may have somebody either participating remotely, like by a Zoom type of thing, or possibly providing written comments. So,
but you've got two of the three that will be coming.
I think that is right. Good. Yes.
This will be a good exercise for us. Yes. Good. Okay.
All right. Any other comments? Motion to adjourn?
Mm-hmm. Keep it.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Motion. Second. We stand adjourned. Thank you.